Welcome to the Leeds Church Institute podcast. LCI is a faith-based organisation for lifelong learning. In today's podcast, we spoke to Kay Brown, chaplain at Abbey Grange Church of England High School, about her work and inclusivity, with a special focus on LGBTQ+ pupils. Hi, would you like to introduce yourself and say what you do?
Hello, my name is Kay Brown, and I work as the chaplain at Abbey Grange Church of England Academy in Leeds. And I've been here for 27 years, but in a variety of roles. So I've been involved in education for all my working life.
What initially inspired you to get involved in education?
Well, I was a student. I was actually working on a PhD, but I knew that wasn't really working out for me. So I wanted to stay involved in science. I was involved, in fact, I was leading on all the children's and youth work in my church. And I thought, what could actually bring together my two passions? Plus talking. I was finding myself taking longer and longer coffee breaks at work and thought, what can bring those passions together? Helping young people. I was working in an area of the city where there's a high level of need and deprivation, and saw the need for people in young people's lives who actually cared about them and wanted to be involved. So that's what led me to look at teaching. And I went and visited a school, found it very different to when I was at school, a very different atmosphere, and thought this could be the place. And indeed, I really enjoyed training. And when I applied here, there was a in those days, a very traditional call for people who had a faith in a Trinitarian God, which I had. So I felt quite excited that I could respond positively to that. And I have always felt ever since that this was the right place and where God wanted me to be.
What excites you most about being a school chaplain?
I think being a chaplain is an exciting role because it allows you to have faith at the centre of what you do. I've had a lot of different roles here that have involved working with young people. I was assistant Senko. I was a head of year for 13 years. So I did a lot of work working alongside the most vulnerable, working alongside that really struggle to fit in and struggle to make a success of school, working with families that are finding it hard, but always was frustrated with what you could do there. Because at best, school can offer a sticking plaster. And that is the really challenge of working with some of our more difficult families, our families that are harder to reach, that we can only do so much. But as a Christian, I believe that if God is part of your life, then that can be transformative. So to be able to have faith at the centre of what I do, not in a way that forces it down people's throats, but in a way that opens the questions up and gives possibilities to pray with young people and to pray with teachers, was something that I perhaps, yes, I could have offered before, but now I feel empowered to be able to do that. So it's a very different way of being able to operate within the school, which has got a lot of freedom associated with it.
And what do you think the best thing about your job is?
I think the best thing about my job is probably the sheer variety of things that I'm able to do, but it is that I'm also working with young people, and working with young people is always energizing and a privilege and a joy to walk alongside young people who have faith, to encourage them in their journeys, to help them to feel empowered, to share that faith with their friends, to walk alongside young people who haven't got that as part of their life, but to offer that possibility and those questions for them. And also to be Christ in those situations when people need help and support, but also to bring lots of different opportunities into school that people don't have time anymore. Teachers don't have time. Everywhere is so busy and so pressured. So often I'm the person who can do that extra little thing that brings light and life into our community.
What is distinctive about Abbey Grange? What are the challenges here? And what is the school doing well?
Obviously, one of the things that's distinctive about Abbey Grange is its faith ethos. So a lot of families choose Abbey Grange because they see as someone with a Christian ethos to the school. So that obviously makes us distinctive because faith is hopefully at the centre of what we do. So we think of ourselves as distinctively Christian, but inclusive of all and welcoming of all, whether that's of different faiths or no faith. But we do not apologise for being Christian. We are very open and upfront that this is who we are. So to have the chance to have worship, we take very seriously the legal commitment that all schools have, but is often not honoured, of having a daily act of broadly Christian worship. It might just be 2 minutes of quiet reflection, or it might be a discussion, looking at a Bible passage, assemblies. We also have services, Eucharistic services that mark the school year and the important points in the school year. So it is a worshipping community, a very diverse community. We have 67 languages spoken here at the last count. We take students from all over the city. So we have high numbers of students that come from all sorts of different backgrounds, but including those from pupil premium backgrounds. So students that are offered an opportunity to go to a school, which is a really good school academically, but is available to people right across the city. And I think that is actually something that addresses issues around justice and access to good schools for all students. So I think it is very distinctive in that, because it is a Christian school, but it's also the challenges of that mean some people have a view of that that might not be the reality. So a Christian school means a Christian ethos school, but it means that we are still a school that follows very strictly the rules around what a school is, that we would not be telling people how to live their lives. We wouldn't be standing up and saying, this is what you should be doing. We are a place that allows students to explore for themselves what their questions and answers are. So I think sometimes that can cause a little bit of a challenge, some expectations from parents. But hopefully most of our parents appreciate the fact that we offer good quality education in a framework where we want to take seriously Jesus's call to live life to the full.
How do you see the role of the chaplaincy in the wider school life?
Hopefully at the heart of the school life. I've had it described as a hub model of chaplaincy by somebody who interviewed me for a book. And they were looking at the idea that there's a central place, which is the chaplaincy, where students come and they can come for all sorts of different reasons. But then they go out from there into the wider school, so that it isn't something that's tagged on. It's not an extra. Obviously, the ministry of chaplaincy is about availability, but there's also lots of other things that happen through chaplaincy. So it's a facilitating role to make the life of the school work. Sometimes it's a logistical role and just about making things work and having the time and the energy to say who needs to be where and actually putting those plans into action. It's very much a place where students know they can turn to for help and support, but staff as well. And I think in a busy school, staff need that support as well as students. So chaplaincy is, I hope, at the heart. Somebody described it to me very kindly as the glue that holds the school together, which is a lovely thought, and I hope would continue to be that. The thing that makes us distinctive and makes us different is to have that Christian ethos, and that is worked out through the work of chaplaincy.
So at Christian Student Education recently, we've been looking at inclusion and how pupils are included, and particularly LGBTQ+ inclusion. How do you go about making sure that all the pupils you work with feel included?
I think this is something we give a lot of thought to. So I work with the PHSE coordinator to look at the overview of where students are taught about different relationships. Sex and relationship education in schools isn't something I would ever think students should be able to opt out of. I think it's really, really important that all students receive the same message, and a message that has different styles of relationships included in, including LGBTQ+, so that we've got a range of relationships which are met at age-appropriate way from year 7 right the way through to older students. And obviously the content there will be different, but the fact that there is included always a commitment to the fact that all relationships are important and should be bounded in respect and love and care, and there is no right or wrong. I think this is really important for church schools in particular, because sometimes the church is a bit conflicted on this. And although we are trying to disagree well, which is what Justin Welby has called us to do. So that's really hard for young people to interpret. I think the idea of inclusion is really, really important. And we are called to value all God's children. That is the document that the Church of England has specifically produced as a guide for schools, which is about challenging homophobic, biphobic and transphobic bullying in particular. That happens in all schools. But church schools should be safer places and more inclusive places because that's who we say we are. Sometimes the perception is the opposite. So we work really hard to say you can always report this. You can always talk to us about it. I've had lots of conversations with young people who are exploring this for themselves because it is a challenging time. As a teenager, you are exploring identity. Who are you is the big question in your life. It's a more challenging time now because of social media, and that has a massive impact. So we try and do some work with our young people on e-safety, but we're really finding that challenging, as are all schools. And it is difficult for young people to negotiate. And we know that something like 45% of LGBT young people report being bullied at schools. So that's a fairly recent report that's come out. We also know that sometimes they feel that teachers don't act. So part of what we try and do as well, we've always had and always continue to have Stonewall trained teachers specifically in school so that if young people really feel that they need some extra help and support, they know who they are and they can go to them. We've also had a group set up in school called HERO, which is a gay straight alliance. That's what students have called it. And it's about the fact that as a group of students, they felt it was important that there was a club that said, actually, as a school, we want to everyone to be included. And that was led by students and continues to be led by students, but facilitated by a teacher. And I think that makes a really important statement in our school, that we are a place that welcomes and includes everyone. We want to value everyone. We don't want to tell anyone that they're wrong in the way in which they choose to live their life, but we want to support them when they need it and help them to make good choices and safe choices for themselves. So our PHSCE curriculum is a really important part of that. Training of our staff is important. Having that message, we've had assemblies that have been led by students talking about that. Some people found that difficult because it's coming within the worship space, but I think it really needs to be within that time as well, so that there is that inclusion at that point as well.
What are some of the challenges that specifically are faced by LGBTQ plus pupils, and how can you help those pupils? How can you support them?
Some of the challenges are around name calling, especially with younger students. Find that sort of year seven students in particular find this something hard to get their head around. Your older students tend to be like, what's the problem? They're quite accepting on the whole. Sometimes we have challenges, particularly with the younger ones, where what they're taught at home might be different to what we're saying in school. So we might be saying we need to include and value everyone. Some people might be taught this is wrong, and might even use words like sin around it, because we've got a lot of churches that do actually give a very strong message around homosexuality. So part of what we're trying to do is help our students negotiate what does it mean to have parents or church or school having different messages. So getting them to understand that there are different messages. For the individuals who think that they're targeted by this, sometimes it's name calling, sometimes it's isolation. So it's sometimes that they're left out of things. So finding safe places in school. So we have a range of different lunchtime activities. So we can say, look, okay, come here, come here, come here. So there's lots of different places where they can go. We also give a very strong message if it's needed. And certainly I've gone in with the head to a class that we're having a debate in a subject where that would be normal to have that debate. And we had to give a very strong message around the fact that no bullying would ever be tolerated, particularly any homophobic or biphobic or transphobic bullying. That would never, ever be acceptable. But also follow that up with this message about the fact that if we are a community, then we care for one another and we love one another. And this is what that means. So we try and give a consistently strong message from the front so that people know it's not tolerated. And then we try and encourage people to tell us if they have any concerns that somebody might be being bullied, because sometimes the person who's being bullied finds it very hard to come forward because they're worried about what else will happen. But often friends will do that. So finding safe places, making sure that people do find support and help if they need it. And that on the whole can help people negotiate this really, really difficult time in their life. Being a teenager is difficult enough. It's challenging enough. We're not, you know, the questions about identity are massive. If you have questions about your sexuality, and particularly if you are grown up in an environment where there is no debate, where there is only one model, that can make things really challenging for young people. Can't say we've got all the answers, because I don't think anybody will have, but trying to provide safe places is a big part of that as well.
Can you share a recent positive story from your experiences as a chaplain?
So lots of positives happen in school. It's always a great joy working along young people, and sometimes you just have that conversation. But one of the things we've done recently for in May was Mental Health Awareness Week, and we've worked with a local charity called Space 2 and an artist who came in and worked with our students and produced artwork, which we then had on display during Mental Health Awareness Week. Artwork that was really challenging stigma and helping people to think. And then we had activities that students could do their own reflection on that artwork and get them to think about the face we present to the world and the face and what's going on inside, and help us to recognize that we all have the face we present, and that might not always be what's happening inside. So that was amazing piece of work, and just working with the facilitator, he said it was the most free-ranging and reflective piece that he'd ever seen in a school. So it's really great to give students the opportunity to be creative, to be thoughtful, and to produce something that had a real impact on the people that saw it. And it had a massive impact on staff when they read what students have got going on, and it really made them think as well.
In our recent City Theology magazine, Graham Brownlee, Shona Shaw and Tom Shaw talks about the ways that the education system can be isolating and dehumanising for pupils who struggle to conform or compete, and how Christians can work to encourage better communities in schools. What opportunities do you see for Christians to get involved in the world of education?
I think this is a really good question, because schools are so big now. When I started teaching here, it was just over 1,000. We're looking at nearly 1,700 next year. So I can no longer know everyone as a chaplain, whereas I could in the past. And I think that anonymity makes it really easy for people to get missed. So having more people around who could help and support young people, just simply having people to come in and volunteer to read with year sevens when they first arrive, it's not a massive amount of time. And obviously we'd have to do checks, but those people who've got that 15 minutes for an individual makes a massive difference in their lives. People who have the skills to do mentoring, people who have the skills to help out in lunchtime clubs. So, for example, I run a mindfulness group, and one of the local community youth workers comes in and helps with that group each week. Makes a massive difference to students who live in the locality to see somebody from out of school in school, and particularly for our more vulnerable students. So, you know, schools have opportunities. I think the challenge is that schools don't often have time to take up those offers of help. So that's what part of what chaplaincy can do as well. So I bring in national citizenship, I bring in Rotary, I bring in lots of people who can bring that extra bit into kids' lives, because we're too busy in school. And school, I totally get the idea that schools are isolating and dehumanising at times, because they are too big. And we're all being pressured to take more students now. So it's only going to get worse. So anything that Christians can do. But the thing I would really ask that Christians do is to pray. Pray for our schools, pray for our students, pray for our families, and pray for our staff, because they really need it. We have a praying parents partnership in school, and it's really valued that there are people who give up their time to come in and pray in the school for the whole school community, to pray for leadership as they make decisions, to pray for teachers to have the strength, for praying for people to have the energy to care. And I think prayer is so important and really needed.
Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this podcast from the Leeds Church Institute. If you'd like to know more about the Leeds Church Institute, visit lcileeds.org.